Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney, and we have offices in Seattle and Bellevue. I'm with Delino Family Law Group. We are a full-service family law firm. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza. Amy is a certified real estate divorce specialist with Windermere Real Estate, and we have a special guest with us today. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy to introduce Kelly.
Yeah, welcome everybody. I am so excited to be here today and to introduce our special guest. We have Kelly Cato with us, and she is a managing director and financial advisor with Wealthspire Advisors based out of the Seattle office. So welcome, Kelly. We're so glad to have you here. Go ahead.
I was just going to do a quick thank you to you and Michelle for inviting me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to let our listeners know a little bit about Kelly. So Kelly is, she's a certified divorce financial analyst. She's also a certified financial planner, and she focuses on helping clients who are going through life's transitions, such as divorce or losing a loved one, selling a business, and helping them really understand their options, and both big and small, but helping them with confidence and financial security moving forward. So we're really excited to have you here, and we'd love to just hear more about you and how you help your clients.
Yeah.
Sure. So first of all, I'm a native of the Northwest. So I grew up in and around the Seattle area and continue to enjoy all that it offers. I live in the Capitol Hill neighborhood with my husband. We have two adult children. So that's a little bit about the personal side. Professionally, I am a comprehensive financial planner. So I work with individuals and their families. And as you described, and like all of us, my clients go through life transitions, and those life transitions are opportunities to take a pause and sort of, you know, reflect on where you are, where you've been, and where you want to be in light of the transition you're going through. And, you know, I'm a guide and a partner in that, and in helping my clients to see clearly where they are today financially, and then where they want to be in the future, and helping to create a roadmap, if you will, a clear picture about how we're going to get there, and walk with them on that journey. And that's, as I said, very comprehensively done. So as a comprehensive financial planner, we're touching lots of different areas. So it's very rewarding work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it must be. And I know, you know, when we asked you to come on today, we were talking about from the divorce perspective side of, you know, specifically in your business, what are some things that clients that you work with should be thinking about if they are thinking about going through divorce, or if they haven't filed for divorce yet, and it's something that might be on the horizon? And how do you work with clients that are going through that transition specifically?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it is a major life transition. When I'm working with clients that are sort of newly entering this transition, often one of the partners will have taken on the role as the financial manager for the family or for the partnership. And that's, I think, common in marriages and partnerships in general. We each take a role, and mine might be to mow the lawn, and yours is going to be to take out the garbage, and I'll do the laundry and you vacuum. You know, it's very, very common to have someone take on that financial manager role. As a result, the other individual often doesn't have full awareness or visibility in terms of their financial situation, and that can often put them at a disadvantage. So, you know, first and foremost, it's sort of understanding what whether or not they've taken on that role, what their visibility and awareness around their situation is. And once we have an understanding of that, it's really digging in and helping to put them in the best position they can be as they enter into this process. And to kind of elaborate in terms of best position, one of the key things is going to be information. You know, I think for all of us, and this is not only in a divorce context, but in so many contexts of our lives, information is powerful. It really can be determinative around the situation that we're involved in and the outcome of that situation. So probably one of the biggest steps or biggest things that I advise my clients to start doing right away is gathering information. Mm-hmm. So it's gathering those important documents.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And Michelle says that a lot to her clients too.
Yeah. Gathering the documents is the thing. I mean, and a lot of the time, you know, clients, like you said, Kelly, I liked that you pointed it out, because a lot of people come into the process feeling insecure because they're like, mm-hmm. I'm not the one that's handled the bills. I don't know even how much money we have. I don't know. I'll ask a client sometimes, so how much is your mortgage every month? They have no idea. They don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, information is power, and finances are such a scary time, right? Like the resources that sustain one household now have to sustain two for a time being, and people don't know what that's going to look like. So I liked that you said, Kelly, that like you're a partner for people in this. And I think that's what my clients need. They need somebody that's going to help them know what this information means and know, you know, really what assets they might want to hang on to, what assets might be better for them to go. A lot of people don't understand, and you probably deal with this, and maybe you can talk about this, but a lot of people don't understand the difference between like pre and post tax accounts and what the benefit can be depending on where you're at in your life. If you're a later in life divorce, if you're an earlier in life divorce, you know, you might be getting a lot of retirement funds that you're not going to use anytime soon. So I'm assuming that you, part of what you do really is looking with clients at what's best for me here, given my circumstances, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, once we've got, you know, as much information as, you know, hopefully we can, we're going to, you know, go through that information and determine, again, ownership. Ownership's a big piece of this is who, you know, it's not only what we have in the way of properties, accounts, you know, it could be cars, jewelry, et cetera, but sort of really understanding what's owned jointly, what's owned in my name, what's owned in my spouse's name. So clarity on that piece. As well as the tax impact of the assets. You noted, Michelle, whether it's a retirement account, which was funded through pre-tax dollars, or a non-retirement account, which was post-tax dollars, because if I'm taking money out of those accounts, the tax consequence is going to be dramatically different.
Huge.
How old I am is also going to have an impact if I'm taking money out before you know, an age where I might be penalized for taking dollars out of those accounts. So you're right. We're doing a really full inventory. And then that's, you know, kind of jumping ahead. That's part of the comprehensive financial plan, or the clear picture that we're creating, where we're incorporating, you know, not only all the assets, all the liabilities, the ownership makeup of that account, again, whether it's pre-tax, post-tax, just all of that information, so that we can start looking at what I'll call, for a lack of a better way to put this, what ifs, scenarios. So we can generate scenarios that look at different permutations, different, you know, impacts of dividing assets in certain ways and having certain levels of income, et cetera. Sort of how do we optimize for someone's situation?
Definitely.
And it could be, you know, too, that this is a two-stage process, because as you noted, Michelle, during a divorce, expenses can, you know, they'll vary all throughout our lives, but during divorce, you may be supporting two separate households.
Right.
So you may have a whole other set of expenses that you didn't have as a couple. Additionally, there will be expenses just related to the divorce. So your team of people that are necessary to support you, whether it's your, you know, your attorney, your tax professional, you know, a real estate professional, could be a forensic accountant. You know, so this team of individuals is going to cost something, and that's a cost you want to be able to bear. But just having an understanding, and I think just back to my point, is it could be a two-step or a two-phase approach to really that clear financial picture.
Definitely. And when we're thinking about people that are in this initial stage, I mean, that's why I brought it up, because you're going to have this transition, right, where they have to, you're two different households, you're balancing different money, you're having to duplicate expenses sometimes for the kids so they have the resources in both households. And then that's very mm-hmm. different than post-divorce when assets have been divided. We know if there's going to be spousal support or what that's going to look like. So maybe someone's gone back and gotten another job during the process. So it really is, in a way, a bifurcated process. I tell my clients, look at it like, we're going to get something temporary in place. And this is something where I think clients could really benefit from having a financial advisor in their corner. We're going to get something temporary in place. And this doesn't mean this is going to happen forever, but it's kind of like a new status quo and new normal for you. And so being able to help clients understand what they can and cannot afford and what they should be doing and planning for, it's super important. It's very important mm-hmm. in a scary time for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. It's vital.
Yeah, definitely.
So question for you, Kelly, how do you use, well, A, how do you determine what assets a client should keep other than, you know, maybe from a tax perspective or an income perspective? Is there, you know, is there more? Can you help us dive into what is the process that you take with clients as, you know, like Michelle and I see clients who they want to keep the family house, but maybe that doesn't make sense for them financially, right? So how do you help clients determine and understand, you know, what is best for them? Is it, you know, obviously we do a lot of handholding in our business, but talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Well, that's such an important question. And I think, you know, I start with wanting to understand what is most important to them. I think it's really, you know, just hearing what matters to them, what they value, and how they prioritize what matters to them, I think is critical. It doesn't mean that necessarily that's all going to come to fruition and or that is in your best financial interest. But I think it's important to hear that and, you know, and start with that as the foundation. And then when we look at all the assets, all the liabilities, the income, et cetera, you know, kind of have that, all that data gathered, then we can put to, you know, we can make it more tangible and concrete what is possible. So, you know, but I don't want to immediately go to the number crunching, because if we're ignoring what's really, you know, matters the most to someone, and even if it is the family home, there may be, you know, there are always going to be pros and cons to just about everything. So sure. There may be some very quantifiable costs associated with staying in the family home. And we can identify and talk about those things. And it may, in fact, change someone's prioritization around that. And also, though, it could spur conversation, and Michelle could probably weigh in on this. It could spur conversation where, okay, well, maybe we will keep the family home for a period of time. And let's look at, you know, your ability to stay in this home for the next 2-3 years so that you've got, you know, a place where you feel grounded, where you've got the community that you're accustomed to around you. Your kids are perhaps still in school. So lots of good reasons to stay there. Here's the cost that's going to be associated with that. And then here's what we can, you know, what will happen if we sell and look at something different 2 or 3 years later. So I think, again, you know, it's critical to really identify and understand what's most important to all of us. And someone who's, you know, that going through such a big transition in their life, you know, hearing them and looking at what we can, you know, what we can do to honor and you know, potentially help them to realize, and then, you know, trying to quantify the, you know, the outcome of that, as well as being creative in terms of, you know, right, what can we do to, you know, make this possible even for a while.
Totally. And I think what you made a really good point about creativity in settlements and what is best for somebody and what their goals are, because I actually just mentioned this on our meetup group last night where we were talking about scenarios like with the family home, just like you're talking about. And it's a situation where it's not going to be the same for everyone. Someone might think, oh, I really want to keep the home, but they need to work with someone like you also to be forward thinking and think about what those costs associated are going to be. And then, you know, being able to have some control over their own settlement is so important, because if you ended up in a court scenario, the court might not necessarily care that you have kids at home that are 2 years away from graduating from high school, so they really need to be there. The court might not necessarily understand or care that the cost of moving yourself to, let's just say, Bellevue or Mercer Island, really good school districts that are really expensive, and moving to a rental in those areas for just a couple of years might not be feasible. So you might end up losing control over that part of your settlement when, if you are maybe more open to being forward thinking and thinking about the costs you're going to bear now and later, and whether you're going to keep the home, you might come up with a plan that's something that's unique to you that says, okay, we're going to hold the home as tenants in common and share the cost for a couple of years. And then we're going to share in, you know, the cost of sale and also in the proceeds, as opposed to one person keeping the home when then they're going to sell the home a couple years later and they're going to take half the capital gains exemption because they're single and they're going to bear the full cost of sale. So creative solutions, I think, when it comes to the finances, and having somebody like Kelly on your side who can really help you realize this is just one number on a piece of paper, but we need to be forward looking a little bit on a temporary, you know, not just in a temporary place, but also in a long-term place, is really helpful. It can cost clients a lot of money when they make emotional decisions about any asset. I have had certain clients that are super tied to, I want to keep my pension. And I'm kind of like, okay, you want to keep this pension, but do you really know what that means? And does it really make the most sense for you in your overall financial picture when maybe you need more liquid cash right now? A lot of people don't understand the differences, and they get super emotionally tied. I mean, Amy, you deal with this, emotionally tied to real estate, right?
Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Usually, you know, like I had some clients come to me this summer who were separating. They hadn't filed for a divorce yet, but they had been separated for about 2 years, and they didn't come to me until their son graduated from high school, right? They had agreed that they would carry the cost of, you know, this home together, even though they weren't no longer living together. And, you know, thankfully they were amicable, and but they made the decision that was best for them in the time frame that they, you know, that they had with their son living at home. And also from an expense standpoint, right? I mean, they knew that they needed to sell it eventually, but they were willing to both carry that, you know, the cost of that home and the mortgage and expenses for their son, for their family. So, yeah, I mean, yes, I see it every day. But, you know, Kelly, another question I have for you, as a CDFA and the work that you do as a CDFA, do you work with both spouses, or do you tend to just work with one spouse, or what does that look like?
That's a good question. So I've been practicing a long time, and, you know, every once in a while clients, a couple that I've worked with will share that they are divorcing. I can work with both as a neutral, what I'll call a financial neutral, and share information equally with the two of them. And I've done that where I've generated scenarios that they're both, you know, both viewing, they both have, you know, full visibility, and I'm communicating with them both simultaneously. You know, we're in the same meeting, so they're both seeing the same thing, and we're having sort of a joint conversation. And sometimes it's with a mediator, you know, they've opted to mediate. And so I'm doing scenario generation so that they can both see, you know, the potential outcomes of these various scenarios. So I can and have done that. More often than not, I will work with one individual. Mm-hmm. You know, that's more often than not. And the benefit of my firm and the team that I have is also, it's happened, and this has been true for clients that I've worked with, as well as some of my colleagues here in my firm, is if there's not a comfort level with a divorcing couple, to have, you know, one individual that they're both working with that same individual. I have great partners that are very qualified, you know, that can work with one and I'll work with the other. And we've done that, you know, several times. And, you know, part of, as with both of you, you know, there are confidentiality, you know, requirements and fiduciary obligations that I, you know, practice with and uphold, you know, the regulations and or the construct that, you know, that my licensing and certifications fall under.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you were talking a minute ago too about working with sometimes clients in mediation in real time. This is something that doesn't get talked about, so I just kind of want to pull that out of the discussion for a minute. A lot of clients don't understand what mediation means or what it's going to be like, and there's different formats for that. But a lot of clients feel very like they have a hard time making a decision in, you know, when offers are being passed, terms are changing, people are trying to imagine scenarios. And I think it's great that you, you know, will act as a neutral sometimes and work through those scenarios with clients in a mediation. I'm sure you can do that as a neutral in more of a collaborative mediation, or you could work with an individual client doing that. Because I find that a lot of clients benefit from having somebody who can, you know, run a scenario in real time and say, this is what this means for you. Oh, this is what we talked about before. And it gives clients like that peace of mind to be like, I'm going to be okay with this decision, rather than feeling like they're making that decision in a vacuum. And your attorney can tell you, and I know enough about finances to be able to be like, okay, we talked about this or that, but to have that partner that you mentioned that you are to people, really saying, okay, this is what this means. This is, we talked about this, and really going over their plan with them and how, you know, those decisions when they're happening in real time can affect them, I think it's really valuable. And I think a lot of people listening need to keep in mind that, you know, divorce moves fast. If sometimes it moves really, really slow, and then all of a sudden when something happens, it moves really, really fast, and you got to make a decision. And having a team around you, which includes somebody that really understands your finances and your goals, is so important. So the fact that, you know, Kelly talked about doing that in a mediation really stuck out for me, because a lot of people don't have that or don't want that, or they don't understand the value in it. And I think it's super important. Mm-hmm. So,
or they just look at the cost of it, right? Like, yeah. Some things, you know, we talk about this with our compensation, if you will, with real estate. And, you know, what I always try to get clients to look at is that big picture of what are you saving and what are you earning by retaining my services? And I'm sure, like, I mean, helping clients, Kelly, with avoiding some of these tax consequences, right? I mean, that is huge. Like, that could probably save somebody 10 times what your fee is, right? And so getting people to think past that versus, you know, how is this going to benefit me and my future versus what is just the cost today, right?
Yeah.
I think that's such a great point. And I often, you know, think, and I'll say this out loud, that maybe the greatest value I bring to my clients is to help them avoid getting in their own way, avoid making mistakes that will, you know, that will just be so costly down the road, you know. And it's through, you know, it's that team, and it's through each of our collective or our individual and then collective experience, having walked through this with so many clients for as long as we have, we've already seen around the corner in, you know, 99% of the cases, we know kind of what's around the corner, maybe not exactly, but you have a pretty good idea. And so that's such a great point, Amy.
Definitely.
It's important. So, but yeah, we are so glad that you could join us today. And if there was one thing that you could leave our listeners with as a takeaway about working with a financial advisor or a certified divorce financial analyst, what would you say?
Well, I think it's kind of coming back to what we were just talking about, is that, you know, the value of having information and being really prepared is, you know, it's invaluable, you know, it's critical, and it can make all the difference in the world. And so, you know, I think, you know, leaning on that expertise, calling in those experts and really creating a team. It's not just one. It's, you know, we all have different areas of expertise, and they're all critically important, particularly in divorce or other major life transitions. So to, you know, to assemble that team, to gather your information, and to do that earlier versus later. I mean, I think those are just the most essential, you know, sort of words of advice that I would give. And I think that, you know, working with a certified financial planner, you know, we just in experience and training and whatnot, it's looking at a comprehensive picture. So it really is. It's looking at the now and the going forward. So, you know, we can help our clients, you know, really set themselves up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something too, that I think is important, like sending them off for success. And part of that is what we've talked about today. And I think people don't know what they don't know. So mm-hmm. when Kelly is like, do the planning now, get the documents now, talk with someone now, anybody that's listening, can't stress that to you enough, because you don't know what you don't know. Like, I don't know. I know a lot about finances, about a little things, but I don't trust my finances to just figuring it out on myself, on my own, because I don't know what I don't know. And someone like that's a CFP like Kelly, they do know. So if you have someone in your area that, you know, you can work with, or if you need resources, reach out to us. We're here to help. I think it's extremely important. We're going to have Kelly back again, so we're excited mm-hmm. about that. She will be back on, and we will be also talking about more what to do after divorce and what that looks like and kind of what the future looks like for you. So we're excited to have you back for that, Kelly, soon. And for our listeners, please join us for that episode. But thank you so much for being here today. It was great to have you on. And Amy, as always, it's great to be here with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, this was a lot of fun.
All right. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.